We will call the June 6th meeting of the Technical Advisor Committee to order. We'll begin with a roll call.
Jerry Allen. Modus and Alter.
Here.
Steve Anderson. Terrence Bailey.
Here.
Carl Baker.
Here.
Jamie Brown. Anthony Catalina is excused. Natalie Crowley.
Mike Morrow.
Kim Delaney. Thomas Driscoll.
Here.
Elizabeth Issa.
Here.
Eric Ferguson.
Here.
Alex Hansen.
Here.
Kara Irwin Ferris. Andrew Mack.
Here.
Meher Mansour.
Here.
Christopher Marsh.
Here.
Rashid Mahayadin.
Here.
Richard Reed.
Kim Glass-Castle for Ridge Reed.
Maria Tahara.
Here.
Kenny Wilson.
Here.
Mayor Patel. We have a quorum, Mr. Chair.
Moving on to B. Any amendments to the agenda as provided? If not, we'll receive a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Motion is made and properly seconded to approve the agenda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same. You have in your packet the May 2nd meeting minutes. I assume everyone's had an opportunity to review them. Alex, anything we need to know?
That's not it.
All right. Let's see the motion to approve.
So moved.
Motion is made and properly seconded to approve the minutes as presented.
Oh.
Second.
Okay.
We're in. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same. All right, comments from the chair. I was gone at the last meeting, and of course the one meeting somebody scheduled over at the office is the one I really wanted to be at with a lot of good work. What I see from the minutes, you all put in a lot of great effort to wrestle down some tough issues. So that's all I have. We will, as you can see on this agenda, be selecting a vice chair. It is not necessarily a ceremonial role because, as you know, things happen and people come up missing. So it is just as important as the chair and guide the trajectory of this group. So we will take that up in a moment. That's all I have. It is all.
All right. It's a long report. I'm going to be brief, run through these fast. So the first item, you all have been made aware of Comtrans route performance maximization effort. We currently have a survey on the website, so they're seeking additional input. That survey is expected to close on June 14th. So if you would like, please visit that link and provide any input that you see fit. Second, we wanted to note that on the Palm Beach County Engineering website, the updated typicals as of April 18 are up, and that's great. And you'll see that it includes bike facilities, including some buffered bike lanes, standard bike lanes, but it was nice to see those up published on the website. June 21st is the 13th annual National Dump the Pump Day, so drivers are encouraged to park their cars, take transit if that's feasible for your daily trips that day. Next one, very, very wordy, but it's the CRISI grant, as we're calling it, the Consolidated Rail Infrastructure and Safety Improvements Grant, and this has been Brightline working with partners to do additional improvements at roadways. These are above and beyond the improvements that were necessary for the quiet zone implementation. So we just wanted to make you aware of that they are looking at even further improvements at a number of intersections, both in Palm Beach County, Broward, and Miami-Dade. SFRTA will be holding a public meeting for the Boca 2 Tri-Rail Station. The details of that workshop are included. That will be on June 20th. The June TPA Governing Board meeting will be at the FPL Manatee Lagoon, very north end of West Palm Beach. And then I also wanted to make a note. When we didn't have a meeting in April, Carl Baker gave us a behind-the-scenes tour of the Port of Palm Beach, and that was a really good tour. And it's amazing, all the logistics that goes behind the scenes, which I think we all know happens, but to actually see it, it was a fantastic tour. So last TPA staff update. Wanted to introduce two new staff members. We have Greg Gabriel, who is our Transportation Planner 2, and Navael Fontus, our intern for the summer. So if you guys would like to give a brief introduction, a couple sentences.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Greg Gabriel. I used to work at the Palm Beach County Youth Services Department, and I'm glad to be here this morning and join the team at TPA to do great work. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Navael once again. I'm a current planning student at Florida State Urban and Regional Planning Department. I'm interning here for the summer. I head back in August, and it'll be my second year, and it's been a pleasure interning here so far and, you know, getting to learn the ropes and things like that. So, thank you.
And one more staff update, which I did not put on here. And difficult to say, but tomorrow is actually my last day at the TPA.
I see why you didn't put it on.
I didn't want to put that on in writing, but I've taken a position as the planning and preservation manager for the city of Lake Worth. So tomorrow is my last day.
I expect that everyone will give Jamie the appropriate amount of static when he arrives.
But it has been truly great to work with all of you, and I mean that sincerely. So.
Congratulations.
But I will still be around. There's a lot of initiatives that Lake Worth is taking on, transportation related, so I'm not going to be a stranger. So.
All right. I would like to double back real quick before we move on to number two, the typical sessions we're having. I'd like to just take a minute. Does this body feel that it would be worthy to request it, the county engineer or somebody from Roadway come and discuss how this will now impact their program, our relationship with some of the cities, how that will roll out with complete streets, and does this mean only new projects that have not started design are going to use these typicals, or could we expect the work program as it exists now to start incorporating some of these? I can start with Mo, and then is it worthy to bring the county in to ask them these questions and maybe have a dialogue at a future meeting?
Well, I am here.
Oh, you can answer all of those? Okay, well, yes. Then we will put you on the agenda for the next, again, not on the agenda. It was, if it's worthy, then we'll ask that Mo be, I also want to give you a month to prepare. Send all questions to Mo so he can be ready in his presentation on that. But you know the general.
It doesn't have to be a presentation. We can just simply, you know.
Yeah. Well, I'll leave it to you. We'll put you on the agenda, give you some time to kind of help us understand what it means going to go forward.
Sure.
All right. Thank you. General public comments. I don't have any public comment cards. Is there anyone from the public who wishes to speak? Seeing none, we will move on to our action items. As I mentioned, we mourn the loss of one of our great colleagues. Going lost.
What's that?
Kind of, that's over at Marlin.
He went to Marlin,
he went to the dark side, and sold out for the money, I'm going to assume. Seriously. Is there anyone particularly interested in the vice chair position who will receive nominations for the chair? Vice chair. If not, I'm going to start calling names. What's that?
You can't nominate yourself.
No, but I'm going to start calling for people to nominate people who can't. Sorry.
Well,
yeah.
All right. Anyone else?
Andrew.
You want to? Yeah. You nominated
Eric.
Okay. Anyone else? Somebody got nominated?
I'll nominate Andrew.
All right. Anyone else? Hearing none. We usually do hands. I forgot. Hands.
Okay.
That's what we did last time.
I don't know, for the last time we had a TAC, for our vice chair last year, we did have them give a brief background, if you want to do that again.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we can just vote.
Okay.
You.
Eric, the floor is yours.
Concise.
I'm a transportation engineer for the city of West Palm Beach. I have over 20 years of civil engineering experience in transportation, ranging from large DOTs and small municipalities. I'm really passionate about complete streets and building walkable communities, and just I think it'd be a great opportunity.
All right, Andrew.
Been working for the city of Point Beach for 9 years, started out as an engineer there, worked my way through, became building official, city engineer, development director, and then I just recently took over for Jeff Goodwood as Director of Public Works. Before that, I had my own company. I was a developer, and then I worked for the city of Pembroke Pines as an engineer for 5 years. Been doing this for, again, like 20 years. I'm a civil engineer, a general contractor, a building official, so I'm very well-rounded in all the matters come to transportation and how it impacts development and building communities.
All right. It hadn't been that long, but I've already forgot. Do we just show hands for one and then show hands for count them up? Is that the easiest?
Yeah,
that's
that.
How we did it.
All right. Let's say show hands for Eric.
Ten.
All right, and show hands for Andrew. I see some people raising hands.
Twice, so.
I'm sorry, can you raise
them? Oh, raise them up again so you can count.
I missed somebody. So I'm going to do a quorum call instead.
Okay.
Will Hicks. Who are you voting for?
Eric.
Mo?
Eric.
Steve, is it my Terrence?
Eric.
Carl?
Eric.
Mike?
Andrew.
CJ?
Eric.
Elizabeth?
Andrew.
Eric is voting for himself, obviously. Alex?
Eric.
Carrie's
obviously.
Andrew voting for himself. Mayhem?
Eric.
Christopher?
Eric.
Krishin?
Andrew.
Kim?
Eric.
Maria?
Alex.
Penny?
Eric.
Eric, 11 to
5. All right. Thank you very much. We'll move on to the bylaws. The staff can make the presentation.
No, I'm just going to run through briefly just highlighting what was changed. It's pretty straightforward. There isn't all that much that did change. The first was consistency with the other advisory committees, specifically last month for the Citizen Advisory Committee bylaws. On the last page, under Section E, voting procedures, you'll see new language about abstaining from votes. And this is to clarify that you can't just decide you don't want to vote on something. Certainly, if there is any kind of conflict of interest, you do need to announce that. There's a single form. It's very easy to fill out. If you do have to abstain, and if that ever arises, we can work with you to give you that form. You have 15 days to submit it. And then the other changes are just reflecting some of the branding updates and then the PPP, the Public Participation Plan, references. So that's all that I have on that one.
I would like to bring to the committee's attention on page 5 of the bylaws, page 14 of the document. Note that in the event that you have a conflict, you will not be able to participate in the discussion. I have questioned the staff on why that is from the Florida statute, so I just want to bring it to your attention. It is slightly not normal. I mean, usually you're allowed to participate in the discussion even if you have a conflict, but I don't know if the statute changed, but in practice, in my experience, that has not been the case. So it says specifically you have to indicate that you have a conflict before the discussion begins, do the paperwork, and you're not allowed to participate in any of the discussion. Right or wrong or indifferent, I think that presents other issues personally. You may be the only person who knows the answer to the question, but if you're not allowed to speak based on statute, it just seems odd, but we're going to move on. I just want to bring it to your attention so that everybody sees that it's there, and that's how we're going to have to operate going forward based on the statute. Seeking a motion to approve?
So moved.
I have a question.
Okay.
Discussion.
What is considered a conflict of interest? Because when we approved the Long Range Plan, I know West Palm is always complaining, no, we don't want the State Road 7. Is that a conflict? I mean, is it a conflict when I look at the plan and there are projects in Boca? Is that a conflict? I mean, what do we call a conflict?
So I cannot remember. Since I've been here, that hasn't occurred with this group. Where I could see it potentially happening would be more with our Citizens Advisory Committee, because you do have some people in the private sector on that committee. So if there's any potential for financial gain, that is typically where these conflicts arise.
Okay.
You're representing the local government or the entity that you work for.
Okay.
Not that much, right?
Okay.
There was a new version of Robert's Rules. I'm wondering, can we get a copy, or is there periodic training on that?
Do you know? I'm guessing that's probably online. I'll check and see if there's a link to like a PDF. Yeah,
send
a link.
Okay,
to that.
Because
sure.
It's a lengthy document.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You can have the book for you to reference if you want, but we can send a link.
Just put the link up on the website.
Sure.
Get going. bring it down.
Didn't you guys send it some time ago?
Yeah.
To resend that, maybe? On the website.
I'm assuming the summary that we produced a year ago is still consistent with this new version.
Yeah, it wasn't significant changes to the rules.
Tomorrow's your last day. You can promise anything. Like, they're going to do everything you want.
Well, we don't have to find you.
That's right. Oh, yes. The moment of silence is stare at Jamie.
Yeah.
If we would.
I don't know if you were in the room when I announced.
Oh, no, I was there.
Yeah, and that's why we promised to stare at you for a while before you got.
I was sitting traveling on you
for late for stealing our.
So tomorrow is my last day here. I'm actually heading over to Lakewood.
Beautiful. No one keeps looking at me.
All right. We had a motion. Was there a second?
All right.
So, motion and second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. We'll move on to C.
And Andrew Euler, our TIP coordinator, will be doing the presentation for this item. I got a lot of sheets here.
Welcome. In case you can't feel it, we're going for a record today to give you back to your office. That's not allowed to tell you.
Good morning, everyone. So this would be the second time you all are seeing the draft TIP, and it's going to the board in 2 weeks for adoption. So this is the fiscal year 19 through 23 transition improvement program, and we're currently operating under the fiscal year 18 through 22 TIP, and so this will go into effect on June 1st. July 1st, yes, correct. So it follows the state fiscal year. Just a few points before we get started here. In case this is the first time you've seen all this, which hopefully it isn't, but you have another week or so if you have anything going through the document that you want to have corrected before we send our packet to the board. So public review and comment is going to be open all the way till to the board meeting. So it's been going on for the last month and a half. So it's around 2 months of public review and comment. But we'd like to have as close to a final document as possible ready for the board. So try to get those comments in by next week if you can. And then also, if you have any questions, we'll do our best to answer them now. Or there might be somebody else here on one of the other staff that could hopefully answer those questions for you. So, this is going to be a little bit different presentation than last time. This is going to be a quick summary in general overall. Summary of the TIP. So again, here's a timeline I've seen before. Last month we had the TIP review, and then up for adoption here in June, and all the steps that's gone on through the creation of this TIP. So going from priority list adoption, evaluating our financial plan the next 5 years, and then FDOT releasing the draft tentative work program, and us approving it, and then work program and TIP review, and that's why we're here today. And then operating under 19-23 and July 1st. Again, here's the project sections. You all have seen this before. Just the general projects that are, how they're broken down in the TIP are our major priority projects, local initiatives, TAP, transportation alternatives, and then SunTrail, all under our priority, what we prioritize in the long-range transportation plan and also our priority projects list. FDOT priority projects with assist capacity, and then we also include other projects. So that includes all the projects we try to go into capital improvement programs, the local cities, to look and see if there's any transportation projects we can add, and then also a lot of the major county projects in their surtax projects list, your servicing and bridge projects, and then also their 5-year road program. And once again, I want to show you that this is from our priority list. So just general summary of the document. There's 488 products in there, and it's totally $2.54 billion in the next 5 years. 299 of those are the ones from the FDOT work program. So these are those federal and state funded projects that have also local matches and a few of those. And then we added another 189 in local projects, totaling $551 million. And again, those are going to be a lot of the Palm Beach County surtax products, the surfacing and bridge maintenance, and then their five-year road program, and then CIPs. So you'll see, you might have all gotten one map, but we have updated maps in the TIP, and these are print maps. We're still looking to get our online in a good place, so you guys can use that as a resource as well. But here's our 5 years by construction. So you'll see in this document, 5 years by construction, and this breaks down in all the different sections that you find in TIP. And then attached to each little label call out is going to be the project number, and it's a general quick work mix for it, project description. So if you're trying to, if you see this table here and you're trying to figure out more information on that project, just search for that project number in the document and it should bring you right to it. You can also see a lot of, for example, on your handout, but you'll see a lot of these. So I hear you see a lot of those local projects that I mentioned from the county. Total funding by product section. So again, this is the sections we have in the TIP, and you can see a quick breakdown with this pie chart of where the major programming is. So large percentage in the SIS capacity, 31%. Those are all capacity projects on the strategic intermodal system. So turn lanes, widenings. You also see a lot of operation and maintenance. So the next three categories there are all operations and maintenance. So 21% for transit. And a little caveat here is that also includes some of those capital improvements that are ongoing operations for transit. So Palm Trend has their regularly scheduled like new buses and other types of vehicles that would be in that category. Operation maintenance of roadways, so a large percent of resurfacing projects and bridges and some signing and pavement. And then major maintenance, so there is some spillover a little bit, which category can go into, but major maintenance is, we try to put projects in there that are going to be ones that we could have the opportunity to maybe jump on that project in some other way. So if it's a resurfacing project that's fairly large, seeing if we can maybe figure out another way to add bike lanes or some other types of multimodal facilities while they're going out doing those other types of maintenance projects. I guess one to note as well is you see major TPA projects. So here's our priority list, 4% right there. So that's a pretty small amount of the pie here. And the reason for that, I'll show that in the next slide as well, is last week we talked about how much money is being allocated right now to TPA projects. We have a lot of projects that are still in the pipeline that haven't been funded for construction yet. So last month we talked about, we had a presentation about US One Corridor study. So that has millions and millions of dollars of potential improvements, which are in that list for needs of construction. There's also Tri-Rail extension. So there's a lot of needs categories that could still be funded. And so once those are funded, you'll see that share of the TPA product the jump of the total share. Again, this is the exact same thing you just saw for that total category. This is broken down in thousands. And again, this is the sections that we have in our TIP. But we also have the federal, state, and local amounts here. So a few highlights I just wanted to mention again. When it comes to your capacity improvements, a lot of those you can see for federal funding with a lot of capacity improvements. And we have, for example, if you're getting more into like maintenance, though, a lot of those are going to be more state or local dollars. So if you look down to O&M maintenance here, or for roadways, major maintenance, you can see larger share of state and local. And that was it, actually. That was the presentation. So it is an action item today, and an action is really recommendations to the TDA Governing Board.
Alex, a couple of questions. So I'm looking at Table 1, major TPA projects, and then comparing that to the map, the construction projects map.
Okay.
I just noticed project number one, which is Southern Boulevard widening from Lion Country Safari to Forest Hill, and then project three, the Tyler Northern Layover Facility. I could not find those on the map, and I know those are actually under construction or will be under construction pretty soon, but I did not see them in this map.
Correct.
So I was just wondering whether that was an oversight or whether there's some other technical aspect for not being included in the map.
Yeah, so that's a good point to bring up. We need to do a better job of this probably when we do it like online, but the Southern Boulevard set for construction in May of 2018, so that's already started, right? So did it already go into construction? I don't know.
It's a fiscal year, so that fiscal year, that's what I believe.
Correct.
Then should it be at the table? I mean, if we have it at the table as number one, shouldn't the table on the map reflect the same projects, I think, right?
You are correct. And the reason it was there when this was being created was because it wasn't under construction yet. So once it goes to construction and they're out there doing construction, that's when we take it out of this table. So if it's already gone under construction, we could take this out of the table for the board meeting.
It's pretty helpful to leave it in the table with some kind of footnote that we done, that the construction has already started on this project and therefore these are not reflected in the...
That could be a way to do it.
That's a better way to solve it.
Well, the problem though is if you're going to capture all projects that are under construction, you're going to significantly increase the table. You'd have to create a whole separate area for the stuff that's under construction right now, the ongoing projects. It's not just the one, there's a lot.
And this goes into
yeah, but it has to be in the. There's still expenditure in the 2020, right? On that one in 2019.
There is. So
it's not all completed yet, so it needs to stay there.
Okay, but then it should be in the map.
Yeah, I agree. We need probably to show it in the map.
So the way we've shown in the past is, even though there's expenditures afterwards, so the one he's referring to has right-of-way costs in 19 and 20, but they've already gone to construction. So once it goes to construction, we take it out of our summary table. That's been the way we do it.
Maybe if you change the title of the map, saying that these are projects that have not started construction or something like that, this would do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And again, I did not see the layover facility, which I don't think has started construction. I understand that it will be in the next year and a half. I mean, Lorraine is not here, but that's my... I did not find it. I did not see the number.
It's probably the same situation where...
I don't think they have started construction because actually a portion of that is in West Palm Beach, leaving, so they're still coordinating with us, with the area. I'm sure.
They started construction.
So those were two that were... basically going to be assumed under construction by the time this is adopted. So on July 1st, theoretically, they wouldn't be in this table anymore.
No.
And that's
that one is not...
So not even close, right? So that would be...
There's still the negotiations on site plan and design bills. And they're... Yeah, I mean, they haven't even finished meeting with us, you and Mangonia.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that's not anywhere close.
Yeah. Okay, so again, I mean, the overall suggestion is maybe... put them side by side and make sure that they match completely. I think they match 90-something percent, but maybe there's a few. And
Yeah, those ones on it that are supposed to be already started, those are sort of...
My final question on this table, also project number four, which is the Tri-Rail Service Extension. When you go to the notes, it says TPA Steering Committee on hold. I was just wondering... questioning what is this TPA steering committee and why is it on hold and what can we do to move this project ahead? And I realize there's different phases to this, but I was just wondering from that note.
Sure. Does anybody on staff have an update on that?
You're
going to
have to wait for Nick to come back. He has added.
Okay. So that has been a top project that has been just... not moving ahead for a while, so.
Well, I know originally we had trying to figure out operating costs, long-term operating costs, and that was an issue. I'm not sure if that's the reason for it, it's not pulled or not.
If we could request that Nick just send a memorandum to this committee in the interim.
Absolutely.
With an update.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, everybody gets the email, they'll write us or whatever that it is.
Okay.
All right.
On 2018 map, there is this project Tri-Rail Layover Facility.
That's the one that we just discussed.
That's the one that is not started yet.
Correct.
Is it going to be starting this year?
This fiscal?
Well, no.
Well, if they do design build, they may actually have the contract for the design build done in this fiscal year, in the next fiscal
year. Next year. Fiscal year.
Yeah, fiscal year coming, it's a design build, they may have signed a contract.
But there's still a lot of work that needs to happen there.
Another thing, on 2021 map, isn't the Lake Worth resurfacing missing from Military to Congress, roughly?
Sure. Could you pull the map? Is that okay? I only have the printout for everyone for 2019 and for myself, so that's fine.
Yeah.
And you're talking about which project?
Lake Worth resurfacing, Lake Worth Road, it's from Lawlerson Drive, which is on the west of Military.
Did you say 2021? Because I know that's the 2019 map that we're showing.
It's 4416321.
There, there you go. Yeah, there it is. The Lakewood Road, 4416321.
Oh, okay, the one that we have the printout for.
Because that's only 2019. So we just brought up, this is the 2021 map when that resurfaced.
Oh, yeah, because you said you have the 21 map there as well. There's a few that were circulated.
Yeah, no,
Is it on the map?
It's on the map we didn't have. Okay.
Okay.
If you guys have fixed
it. It is there? Okay.
Yeah. Anyone else? Right. I did have a question. So I mention this every year about this time. We haven't had any discussion a lot about overlaying this financial investment with the LRTP. Is this actually getting us closer to fulfilling the goals and mission of the LRTP at the last, said, you know, it's a 20-year plan, so you would expect that we would be funding 5% a year over those 20 years. Are we anywhere near on a trajectory to actually fulfill the LRTP as provided with this investment? And we haven't, all the intersections, all the roads, expansion, capacity. Can we have that discussion? Is this taking us in the right trajectory to fulfill the LRTP, which we update every 5 years, and that's supposed to be our guiding document?
Sure. We talked about that a little bit last meeting, and Kevin created a table to show how much of our LRTP products have been implemented in the TIP so far. Lex, are you able to close this presentation, and there's a hidden slide from...
If you've already discussed it, I missed it last time.
Okay.
I'll yield.
Yeah,
I'm trying to get like a matrix of all the types of projects in the LRTP and then how
you
many
can
are.
Say this presentation, there's a hidden slide that near the end.
You have to show us how to do that.
The bonus slide.
But if you go to page, well, in your, you can get a summary.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what number it is for you, but it's in the first few. Pages.
Like I said, if you discussed it the last time and I missed it, then I'll yield and move on. As long as everybody's content, it works. I know, because I ask every year.
Yep, that's it. So this is a good point, though, because we just added this to the TIP for information purposes too, in the summary. And so you can't really see the tape, the sheet too well, but on page 6 of the document, probably not in your agenda, but page 6 of the main document has this table in there. And this is that breakdown. Did I lose the, I think I lost the pointer. Oh. So this is going to have the amount of cost-feasible plan projects in our main categories. So CIS and Turnpike, so those are those FDOT priority ones too. TPA major projects, and then county, city, and private projects that we have in the cost-feasible plan. And then going from left to right for underway, complete, currently in the TIP, but construction with construction phase, in TIP, but there's no construction phase, and then not programmed yet. And so you do see a lot of the CIS Turnpike ones have already been programmed to some extent. Many not being only three that have been programmed. And then TPA sort of less, and then 25 not programmed. The reasoning for that, Kevin, correct me if I'm wrong, is that we had a lot of our major priority projects sort of in the later years of the long-range transportation plan, and there's more funding available for the CIS Turnpike projects that are already dedicated towards those. So we do have a lot of projects coming in a little bit later on into the plan.
All right. Thank you.
So if there's another way that we need to show it to the updated, we're going to try to do a better job of doing it as well.
I make a motion to approve the fiscal year 1923 transportation improvement program.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Moving on. Informational items. CIS feasible plan.
I'd like to introduce Lois Bush with FDOT District 4. She's going to walk through this information item with us.
Established by the Florida Legislature in 2003, is a statewide network of high-priority, high-volume transportation facilities, including airports, highways, railroads, seaports, spaceports, and transit. The system enhances Florida's economic competitiveness by focusing state resources on transportation facilities most critical for stabilizing interregional travel. Shown on this map, the system is composed of highway, railway, and waterway corridors, hubs such as major airports, seaports, and passenger or freight rail terminals, and highway, railway, and waterway connectors, which connects hubs to corridors and one hub to another. The CIS planning and programming process depicted here provides a framework for planning, programming, and implementing transportation projects. The Florida Transportation Plan and the CIS Policy Plan provide policy guidance, and the Florida Transportation Plan is the state long-range transportation plan comparable to your local or your MPO long-range transportation plan. Moving to the right, you will see that FDOT produces two long-range statewide CIS plans, the CIS Multimodal Integrated Needs Plan and the CIS Cost Feasible Plan. Eligible projects in the CIS Needs Plan and from other sources may advance into the CIS Cost Feasible Plan and ultimately and into the CIS second 5 years plan and ultimately into FDOT's adopted work program for implementation. We were here about a year ago to present district projects in the CIS 2045 Multimodal Unfunded Needs Plan. Today the focus is on the CIS 2045 Cost Feasible Plan, which contains projects for CIS highways and sets aside funding for other modes on the CIS. This graphic also shows how your MPO plans relate to the CIS needs and cost feasible plans, and you've been talking about your TIP and annual project priority list, how they relate to the CIS 10-year plan. FDOT Central Office kicked off the update of the CIS cost feasible plan from 2040 to 2045 last summer. Each FDOT district identified and prioritized potential CIS highway projects, considering projects remaining in the CIS 2040 cost feasible plan, projects to advance from the CIS 2045 needs plan, MPO priorities, FDOT priorities. And we also, the districts then submitted their potential projects to FDOT Central Office, which produced the draft CIS 2045 cost feasible plan. As part of the process, District 4 coordinated with neighboring FDOT districts regarding projects on CIS corridors crossing district lines. Also last fall, District 4 members staffed with Palm Beach MPO and the other MPOs in the district to get feedback on potential CIS highway projects for the plan. FDOT's adopted work program and the CIS second five-year plan, which I just mentioned, cover the first 10 years of what's called the CIS funding strategy. The CIS covers the CIS cost feasible plan covers the last 17 years of this strategy, which is fiscal year 2029 to fiscal year 2045 for the CIS 2045 cost feasible plan. The CIS cost feasible plan focuses on designated CIS facilities and types of projects meeting current eligibility criteria. And purposes of the update included evaluating CIS needs in light of forecasting future revenues, developing a phase plan for cost feasible improvements for CIS highways, and ensuring consistency with Florida Transportation Plan goals and CIS policy plan objectives. And as you can mostly see here, the seven Florida Transportation goals are safety and security, mobility, economic competitiveness, the environment and energy conservation, agile and resilient, as well as quality infrastructure, transportation choices, and quality places. The three CIS policy plan objectives are interregional connectivity, intermodal connectivity, and economic development. You each have a handout that shows the District 4 projects in the draft CIS cost-feasible plan, which is also in your package for the meeting. And the other side shows it is a map showing the location of these projects. There are 27 highway projects in the district with one or more phases constructed from PD&E to construction. The corridors are I-595, I-95, US 27, State Road 80, State Road 710, and State Road 714 on Monterey Road in Martin County at the FEC Railway Corridor. The total for the District 4 projects is $4.47 billion in 2017 dollars. That's out of a statewide total for highway projects of around $30 billion. The 2017 dollars will be inflated the year of expenditure dollars as part of finalizing the plan. And in terms of the colors on the table, green signifies the time band of fiscal year 2029 to fiscal year 2045. Yellow is fiscal year 2036, fiscal year 2040, and blue is the last time band, fiscal year 2041 to 2045. I'm focusing in on Palm Beach County. For I-95, the draft plan funds addition of managed lanes north from Linton Boulevard to Blue Heron Boulevard, reflecting findings from the Palm Beach County I-95 managed lane master plan. A capacity project from south of Indiantown Road to the Palm Beach Martin County line, which goes with other capacity projects on I-95 extending through Martin County up to State Route 70 in St. Lucie County, carried over from the CIS 2045 cross-seasonal plan. There's also a project to relocate the southbound off-ramp loop, Belvedere Road Interchange. This project supplements the safety improvements implemented at the interchange in 2011. For State Road 80, the draft plan funds two capacity projects from the State Road 80 Corridor Action Plan Study. All phases from PD&E construction for a project from west of Phoenix Forest Drive to west of Royal Palm Beach, which includes adding two lanes to build eight lanes and off road pedestrian and bicycle facilities and transit service improvements. And the second one would be PD&E design and right-of-way phases for capacity and multimodal improvements extending from west of Royal Palm Beach Boulevard to I-95. Potential solutions include an elevated roadway for through traffic and frontage roads for local access, parallel roadway network enhancements, off-road pedestrian and bicycle facilities, and transit service improvements. The unfunded construction phase has an estimated cost of $1.58 billion in 2017 dollars. One other thing with State Road 80, there's a project for addition of capacity to State Road 7, State Road 80 interchange needed beyond what has been and is being provided through interim projects. An ITS project from US 27 to I-95 on State Road 80 is part of the plan. And it's part of a transportation system management and operations network for CIS facilities in District 4. The 710 project is for interchange and TSMO improvements from Blue Heron Boulevard to Congress Avenue identified through a PD&E study. The US 27 freight capacity and ITS projects And the plan extends from Chrome Avenue in Miami-Dade County through Broward and Palm Beach counties to Everkane Road in Hendry County. The ITS project is part of the TSMNO network at TSMNO network of CIS facilities, and the combined projects are intended to maximize the ability to move freight on the corridor using the latest technology. And in closing, I just wanted to emphasize that these two long-range CIS plans, the multimodal unfunded needs plan and the CIS cost feasible plan, are resources for the MPO as it develops its 2045 long-range plan, which, with that planning process in the works now. So with that, I'd like to answer questions.
Questions? So I'll move first.
Proposed interchange on Central, I-95 and Central, is that part of the CIS?
That the first and second CIS five-year plans, I've got them with me. All those interchange improvements are in that first 10-year funding plan, but I'll double-check that.
That's actually a new interchange. We did not have Central. Yeah.
Let me double-check. I'll follow up with you. I have them with me.
Okay. Eric?
Can you talk more about the Belvedere interchange? You have $35 million. Is it just for that 15-mile-per-hour ramp? What are the community... that original interchange is very disruptive to the community. So I have concerns about what's proposed.
The catalyst for this project was discussion in the MPO board meeting, as I understand it, with concerns with this interchange. So beyond the safety improvements done in 2011, this is a project to relook at that in that south loop in particular where, as I understand it, those issues.
Has there been, will there be a cost-benefit analysis done before you get too far with it?
Oh, all of these, you'll see the phases there. This starts with PD&E. So I think I'm pretty sure in Palm Beach. All of the projects start with the exception of the ITS, which goes to design and construction. So there's more study. This is looking long-term.
Any other questions?
Yeah, I have a small comment here. It would have been nice if you included a column here describing the nature of the scope of the project.
We have made that comment to City Hall. I'll make sure that they hear that.
Okay. It kind of also a question. Going back to the TIP list and the priorities and the trial extension from all the way to Jupiter, and I realize that that project may not be at the cost feasible phase, but again, what is it going to take for FDOT eventually to move that project to that phase? I know there's still funding issues, but it's like, again, it's the project that doesn't keep moving even though it's right at the top of the priority list of the MPOs, which I know is one of the main criteria that you have there for advancing projects, has to be MPO priorities, and that project clearly has been right at the top, one of the top ranked projects for the Palm Beach MPO/TPA for many, many, many years. So whatever push is needed, I think needs to happen sooner rather than later.
Let me go back to this slide that says, and focus on the two long-range CIS plans. The CIS 2045 multi-modal unfunded needs plan has a rail section, and tri-rail, and the statewide plan includes, I just need to put this down. The statewide plan includes tri-rail coastal link as a project, as an identified need from Miami to Jupiter. So it's in the CIS.
Well, that's a little bit different.
It's identified the needs in the CIS world, and as I indicated, because the modes are in a different place in terms of planning longer term for a cost-feasible plan, this is why this plan continues to be focused on highways, although some of those highway projects are multimodal projects. But that's another discussion about how to get all the pieces together to make those transit projects able to move forward and utilize capital funds under CIS that might be utilized on those rail corridors.
Because, that was my other thing. I mean, while this is a CIS intermodal plan, I mean, it seems to be, at least what we're seeing here, highway focused. So that's the bigger picture concern.
There's a set aside of funds When we do the 2045 revenue forecast, there are 8 capacity programs. One of them is CIS Highways Construction Right-of-Way, and that relates to this plan. And a portion of those funds are set aside for other modes. There are the other categories for it. I've got them here, so I won't mess it up. The other 7 capacity programs, the revenue forecasts, are other roads, construction, and right-of-way, and that's a lot of the MPO priorities and so forth, things that state roads and other things, state roads that are not on the CIS. Aviation, rail, intermodal access, seaboard development, transit, and SunRail. So all of those modes get a revenue forecast, as well as the CIS highways getting a revenue forecast. We don't have information on the other modes that would allow us to build a plan through 2045. That doesn't mean they're not getting funding, they're not important. That's why we're still in the place of having this cost-feasible plan that's highway-focused.
I just want to make one comment, too. On the tri-rail extension to Jupiter, there is a PD meeting scheduled for fiscal year 20, so that is moving forward with that.
Yeah, but I see, again, it says the steering committee is on hold. I mean, that's the
note. Right,
that's
we need to get an update for that.
We're going to send out an update on that.
Okay.
I guess my point is that the CIS needs plan identifies
that.
So
I understand, but from needs to cost feasible, how do we move from needs to cost feasible some of those projects? I guess that's my bigger picture comment.
We may have to put it on the next agenda for a thorough discussion.
And I understand we're not going to get all the answers, but that's kind of the, when you see this list, which is highways, even though this is an intermodal, I mean, how do we again?
I want to comment too. Our product priority list is coming up pretty soon, right? So, Kevin, when is that going to be coming to the board?
That'll be coming through in September.
September. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, still a few months, but that is sort of in that discussion.
I have a question about one of the projects that the DOT were planning on is SR710 and North Lake, adding those two added signalized intersections to try to streamline the major intersection. I thought that was programmed, so it would, but it's not intended for projects like those to be shown on this list, right? Because
well,
I could not find it.
I'll show you my first and second five-year plan. I don't know when those are scheduled.
B-line.
Yeah, it should be. Should be in that. It's probably in that 5 year.
The first or second
yeah.
line.
But
yeah.
this isn't there already a project to widen B-line from military west?
Yes, yeah.
Would be incorporated in that project?
Yeah, I think she's right.
Okay.
These are from 29 on, right?
Yeah. Keep in mind we have a 6 second five-year plan. So
right,
this
okay.
long plan starts at this year, 2029.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. I had a question. You had mentioned that the 95 project from Congress Overpass to Blue Heron was born out of a PD&E study.
There was a reevaluation done in 2013.
It was. Okay, so Alex and I neither remember seeing or hearing a presentation on that PD&E. Could you potentially provide that? Because we're both drawing a blank on what that was and how it was generated.
Follow-up information.
You also mentioned I-95 managed lanes extending pretty far north, further than what they do now. And you mentioned the I-95 managed lanes master plan. Also, I think a document that we have not seen or had a presentation on, and it appears to be going into the long-range plan. Managed lanes north of, I think it's the South County, is not in our current LRTP, and there was even a LRTP amendment a few months ago to integrate more managed lanes, and it was relatively contentious at this board. So I bring that up that managed lanes is not an automatic. There are many members who have concerns about this trajectory of managed lanes. So I mentioned that as well. If you could get some more information on your managed lanes, being that the timeline horizon that you're on is outside of our current LRTP, and we're about to update it, it would be good on us all to get in advance of that so that we don't slow down the LRTP process by getting hung up on whether or not we're going to accept managed lanes in the future. And I guess that's a comment for that side of the room.
Yes.
Our side and your side together, we're going to have to just figure out, get enough information for people to decide whether we're going to be okay with managed lanes or not.
Donate. I will get it.
Best laid plans, I was going to bring Cesar Martinez with me, who led both the State Route 84 Action Plan and the I-95 Management Plans Master Plan. I believe he's coming up for a presentation. So.
We haven't scheduled it, but we'll get it on the
okay.
On
so,
the
yes,
agenda.
Or, but that was.
Anyone else? Seeing none, thank you for your presentation. We're back to you. Your last summary.
And like I always say on this one, that's in your backup
in your review.
I do have a question.
Yes.
One of the items there. You indicated that the discussion at the PPA board on the mobility fee, countywide mobility fee, that the board asked that it be rescheduled for another time when there was more time allocated to for that discussion, and that every all municipalities, I guess, in the county were invited. Have there been any, is there any preliminary timeline for that meeting? Or
so what we were looking to do is looking ahead on our calendar of what items are in what months, trying to free up one board meeting so that that could be the meeting, and then have the invitations go out to additional partners. That date has not yet been finalized, but we are going through and trying to reschedule certain items for other months to free up a month, but that'll be happening soon. We'll let you know.
You mean VR, not sure, right?
What's that?
VR.
Well, I guess I should say,
You should have said it was scheduled for Friday. They didn't tell you?
I had a question about, the feedback that you got, Kevin, before. You're leaving tomorrow, so I know that you have been tasked with gathering feedback from all members here about the mobility fees versus road impact fees. And wonder if you have, you know, summarized those or whatever, and if we will be able to, you guys will be able to share those with us.
Yes, everything that we compiled, that'll be feeding into the discussion that happens at that next meeting. So we'll kind of do a summary of, you know, what jurisdictions provided feedback and what the general sense of the different perspectives are, because there are different perspectives. So, but yeah, that will be summarized.
Anything else?
No.
All right. Any member comments? None. Next meeting, July 11th. And with that, we'll adjourn.